This is Lieutenant Sulu of the Starship Enterprise, standing by on the bridge with the Christmas song. Chestnuts roasting on an open fire.
Yes, tis the season. It is the holiday episode here on A Radio Geekly. Welcome, everyone. I am Just Jess, and I am joined here by my collective members. I've got Jenna, I've got Tabitha, I've got David. Good morning to you all.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's the holiday season, filled with all kinds of emotions, but we're going to try to make it happy today.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. It's our last show of the year.
It is the last show of the year.
It is.
Yeah. 2018 is approaching fast.
Can you believe it?
Okay,
yeah.
Now there comes the sigh, like, oh my God.
Yes. So before we get into our holiday shenanigans and doing a little live storytelling karaoke later on the show, I wanted to for us to take a few minutes just to talk about our year in review for Radio Geekly. We were talking a lot about different topics within the realm of geekdom, and I just wanted to get your feedback on how you guys thought we approached certain things. Towards the beginning of this year, we talked about gatekeeping and how it impacts various communities within the realm of geekdom. We addressed from people's experiences personally and as well as our own experiences. What was your takeaway, I guess, from those few episodes that we had?
I really enjoyed those episodes because, like, gatekeeping is such a huge issue within geekdom. Like, even, you know, if you don't even include things like misogyny and racism and all of the things that intersect, you know, it's just like gatekeeping is part of geek culture. So mm-hmm. It's like to fight that is so difficult, and only really can it be overcome through discussions.
Right.
And, you know, and I don't always necessarily hear those in really, really public spaces. We hear about them in panels, like when you go to Comic-Con, like recently in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. But like to have a really public space like radio where it's like, let's really talk about this. And just, I don't know, it was just really interesting to kind of explore my own gatekeeping when I realized I was like, I don't like other people gatekeeping over me, but I know everything about Futurama and you're wrong.
Right.
You know, it's just like, oh yeah, like it's me too. So I enjoyed that, like the chance to explore my own gatekeeperness.
Very good. Tabby?
Yeah, I would agree that it's nice to have a public forum that's not toxic like the internet where...
Right.
People can post anonymously mm-hmm. and say their toxic stuff anonymously. And it was,
trolls do exist on the internet.
Yes.
Really? What? No.
Don't feed the trolls.
4chan doesn't exist.
But a nice public forum to share my feelings, air my mm-hmm. grievances, mm-hmm. and maybe it'll make some people out there think about their gatekeeping and how it also reflects upon them. And like, when I disagree with someone about how could you like that thing?
Yeah. And I thought we approached it well in actually diversifying the different communities that are affected, but leaving it as an open discussion rather than like, this is wrong and this is how you correct things. It's like bringing more awareness, because I think that was a big issue as well, mm-hmm. that people were not even addressing it as gatekeeping. They're like, this is just how I feel about stuff. And it's like, well, that actually could be offensive to some people. So making that open for people's eyes to be kind of enlightened in that way, I think was something that I took away from those episodes in terms of just our own way that we approach kind of controversial topics.
Yeah, very much like it kind of goes with where geek culture, I hope, is shifting towards, where it's going away from gatekeeping and more towards like compassion and more towards like understanding towards one another and realizing that we actually have like a really, really rich diversity and community within geekdom, you know, because it's like, hey, if we don't all just like tell each other what we can own and not own, we can see what's actually there. Because I feel like so much gets pushed down because people say like, this is the definition of what this is.
Yeah.
It's like when you let people just blossom. It's like, wow, oh my God, comics can be way, way better.
Mm-hmm. And then speaking of cons, that was kind of the next few episodes. We talked about Wizard World. We had a few people go to Emerald City Comic Con.
Oh, yeah, the cons of 2017.
Yeah, and how we were like, wah!
And we had all sorts of opinions.
We had all sorts of opinions about
that. I was talking all sorts of smack on Wizard World.
But I mean, you also experienced it firsthand being there.
Yeah.
And we addressed it. And I think that was great for us to actually do, to be in the community experiencing these types of interactions with folks and how we need to make sure that people are aware that things are not okay and, you know, cosplay is not consent. And what does that look like for people that are experiencing those types of oppressions and things?
And then we got to see actually how it is being addressed, you know, like like the cosplay is not consent. Definitely, like, you see it as a bigger part of the comic culture. So even though, like, I talked a little smack on Wizard World, we did see that they were responsive to some changes. So it is nice to be able to go back and have us report, like, hey, here's the small, subtle things we see, even if it's painfully slow sometimes.
Yes, yes, exactly.
Is Wizard World Portland coming back for 2018?
We don't know.
Okay.
If you're listening, Wizard World, do better.
But then, you know, and then moving from those things, we were in the actual community outside of big events like cons. We went to the Portland Zine Symposium and we had a panel about that, talking about zines in general and the zine genre and how that's been impacted for several folks and a lot of artists we got to interact with. So that was a really fun time. We talked about comics, we did games, and one of my favorites was Star Trek. we dedicated an entire episode to Trek and our thoughts.
Sad I missed that.
Yeah, that was a good one. You missed it, Trekkie.
We needed your perspective, Todd, but we needed your perspective. And then we've been wrapping it up as we go into the end of this year. We were talking about Portland makers and things that were being created here within the city. And then also focusing on other communities that might not get radio play. We talked to Indigenous Geeks, and we were mentioning the Tribe Called Geek podcast and the Indigenous Comic-Con. And so I think overall, if I would have to, like, kind of blanket statement our year in review, I would say that we embraced community, but we also exemplified the diversity within our community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely modeled it. Well, maybe just tune our horn, but I feel like we try to at least model what we hope to see within the geek community, which is like, hey, here's the issues, but then let's also talk about it and, like, have it be a little bit painful and come together and, like, it's okay.
Right.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful, and since we've no place to go, make it so. Now it doesn't show signs of stopping. And I brought me some tea, Earl Grey, hot. The lights turn way down below. Make it so. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you...
Really?
Shut up, Wesley! All the way home, I'll be...
Warm. Oh, the fire is slowly dying. And my dear...
We're still goodbye, then. But as long as you love me, so make it so. Make it so. Make it so.
Oh, a little Captain Picard there, and make it so. Bringing into the holiday theme here on Radio Geekly. We were just giving our year in review, talking about the community and how you can be a part of this community during our holiday membership drive. And the way we like to embrace community in more ways than one is to do a little community storytelling. And here to join us about talking about storytelling karaoke is Matt Haynes. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, awesome. You are the artistic director of the Pulp Stage Theater Company.
Yes, I am.
And what is the company's mission of the Pulp Stage?
The company's mission is to offer easy tools for staging and savoring live theater.
awesome. And what exactly is Storytelling Karaoke?
Storytelling Karaoke is a chance for anybody who has wanted to do a play but doesn't want to go through the audition process, doesn't want to go through the elaborate production process. It's a chance for you, if you're a sci-fi fantasy fan, to be a star for a night in your own living room with friends.
Awesome. Or in this case, it'll be in a small studio on
in
community
radio. In a
small
studio in front of the whole city. So yeah. There's that too.
There you go. How long does it take for like a story to develop?
How long does it take? In other words, how long does it take for one of our scripts to be produced?
Yes.
Well, in this case, these scripts were about 7 years in the making. Now, it doesn't typically take that long, but they were some of the first plays that the company produced back when we were producing staged plays.
Okay.
Or, you know, traditionally staged plays. So they're some of our very favorites. And since then, we've scaled back very deliberately because our emphasis is on, okay, how do we make this as easy for people as possible to mount and to spread? So we drilled these down to all dialogue versions. The piece that we're going to do today was actually written deliberately for this format. So that one was a couple of years ago, and since then we've included it in the book.
Okay, so you're reaching out to not just professionals, but anyone who is just enthusiastic to read theater?
In fact, this book is designed for anyone that is enthusiastic to read theaters. Professionals are welcome, but the primary groups that we're hoping to reach are just people that want to get together as a group and as a community and read together.
Okay, and why is such a big passion for live theater as versus like a TV show or film scripts?
Well, you know what I grew up as a film junkie.
Okay.
Films are wonderful. What I felt when I first did theater was this just intense sense of connection. I think the two qualities of humanity that are worth celebrating, especially around this time of year, are that humans are highly social animals and they're highly imaginative animals. And when you put the two together in an act of social imagination, you've got something very, very powerful and very, very life-affirming, very, very humanity-affirming.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm so passionate about theater.
That's great. And the piece that we're going to be reading from today is titled Silence. The author is Tina Connolly. And Tina just so happened to be joining us by the power of radio. Good morning, Tina. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. And for really briefly, before we go out to our pitching, talk a little bit about the storyline behind Silence without giving too much away.
Sure. Well, Silence is about, you know, there's a person who really wants to get out of sort of the life that they were in and wants to go on a spaceship far, far away.
Ah, okay. All right. So myself and David and Tabitha, and we might pull in a couple of other collective members to read through this. But before we do that, I just would like to know, have you found it more desirable to have people just read it blindly, or do you prefer people to actually read through it beforehand? Because to be honest, this is going to be our first time reading through it.
It works just fine both ways.
Okay.
In the opening stage directions, when you first read the book, it says you have the option of taking about 5 minutes to look through it, or if you want to read it blindly, you can read it blindly. I've been quite surprised. There've been just about every test group that's read this has been like, nope, we're just going to do it.
Okay, awesome. Well, that's what we're going to do. We're just going to pull the trigger and hope for the best.
I glanced at the script last night, but I didn't read it through.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of excited.
There we go. So stay tuned.
I'm spending Hanukkah.
So this is what you're about to hear. This is Matt Haynes, artistic director of the Pulp Stage. What you're about to hear is how the book works. Imagine that you're at a house gathering. There's at least five people in your living room. You've just downloaded the book from Amazon, and you open it up. You don't know exactly what to do, but you've all got your phones, and the book is on your phone. And here's what it's like when you just open it up and read.
All right. The introduction, or it says the instructions.
And I guess I'm taking the role of the co-host, so I get to say, please give our host a round of applause for organizing this gathering.
Yay! Thank you. Now, what exactly are we all in for this next hour?
It's very simple. We all will go to the title page of each story.
The co-host and I will read the story and description out loud. We will then read the character descriptions out loud.
We will choose a character until all characters are taken. It's like karaoke, where you sign up for a song to do, and instead you're signing up to do a character.
There's an optional practice time.
No more than 5 minutes.
Then we read the story out loud. The session is over once we've read all the stories and the closing speech.
That's it?
That's it.
All right. Well, why are we doing that?
Because according to this book's editor, some very wonderful things happen. Let's start with the bottom line. We get to experience a collection of great stories.
From literally hundreds of other contestants, these four stories were selected for the Pulp Stage Company's very first ebook. The stories are truly exciting, surprising, hilarious, and haunting.
With the group reading format, storytelling karaoke, we have a new way of unleashing a timeless entertainment form, campfire storytelling.
Now, you may have taken a peek at the text and said to yourself, hey, this format looks familiar. Aren't these really just plays?
Well, not exactly. A traditional play script is just the starting point for a production involving sets, costumes, props, blocking, and memorization. Here you don't need any of that.
Storytelling karaoke is a safe and fun format for anyone who wants to coax their inner performer.
Or feed their ongoing performance cravings. Or really anyone who loves the transformative power of community make-believe.
Okay, is everyone ready for some exciting new journeys?
Yeah!
Then let's launch! With this one, think of it as the easiest piece of music any of us will ever perform. It's really a long, rhythmic outer space poem, peppered with group voices and noises.
The length is about 10 minutes.
Here are the characters. Speak up if any of them sounds like fun to you. 1. Yes, that's the name of the character, and it can be played by any gender. 1 is the main storyteller and gets a lot to read. 1 is brilliant, introverted, traumatized by poverty and off balance. Takers?
Oh, that hits close to home.
All right, we got our 1. 2, yes, that's the name of the character, and it can be any gender. 2, voices multiple stuff, including a gravelly taco vendor and an intelligent but ditzy beach bunny. Takers?
Sure, I'll take that one.
All right.
3, can be any gender and voices multiple stuff, including a syrupy jewelry salesperson and a cheerful coworker who has the annoying habit of scatting and bebopping. Takers?
I guess I'll be 3. And 4, can be any gender and voices multiple stuff, including a hysterical street preacher and a frail, socially inept engineer. Sounds like something for Tabitha.
All right. And let's decide if we want to take 5 minutes to look over our parts before beginning.
We're not going to do that. So, the story begins.
I grew up in the city. In the middle of the city, in the bottom of the city, the hot stone pit of the city where the high, hot buildings rake the sky. You look up and up and up, looking for one pixel of blue, but you get hot white clouds and ash, and all around you, the noise.
Vroom, 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 vroom.
Cars and jets and tin cans.
Vroom, vroom, vroom. Beep.
Vroom, and beep, soup spoons. Vroom, and windows vroom, banging vroom, up, vroom, down, vroom, up, down.
Clang, clang, clang.
Yeah.
And hoverboards and cycle jets. Vroom, and everything clang, mechanical.
Clang,
and rising clang, all around you through the hot, clang, tall day. Vroom, till you gotta shout, vroom, stop! And not just the mechanical noise, but the people. The people. The endless running, racing, talking, shouting people. The jabber, jabber, talk, talk, jibber, jabber people.
Hot tacos. Gonna get ya. Ice-cold sodas. Buy a dozen. Hot, cold, hot, cold.
Come
hot.
In, come in. Buy a necklace. Buy a bracelet. Try a diamond ring for size. 50 carats. Golden rubies. Finest color. Silver buckles. No payment. Money down. Hurry in, hurry on, buy.
End of the world! Plague rats will eat us! Locusts will shame us! Hot tacos, gonna get ya! Icicle!
Buy a necklace, tacos, a bracelet, try a diamond
plague
ring!
Rats, plague rats! Hot tacos,
we gotta rats, do it all! Put a ring on our finger!
Stop! I wanted a way out. I needed a way out. I had to get out! And I found the out. Straight. Up. Sure, it wasn't easy. To get to the stars, you had to plot your points a long time before you actually leave the Earth's gravitational pull. Before the stars, you need the advanced degrees. Before the advanced degrees, you gotta be top of your class for the regular degrees. And before that, if you're a poor kid, a ghetto rat kid like me, you gotta be top of your high school to afford college. And to get there, well, you have to have a high school worth going to, which you can only do if you test out, way far, far out of this place you were born. You gotta get up before the subways start going, before the trash trucks start rolling, before the clanks and the sounds of the city that never sleeps starting again real loud, really going. And you gotta take the subways, gotta study your AP Calc. While a sweaty mouth breather in the middle of the sidewalk waves his coat ragged arms and rants about his ticket out, which is doomsday, loud and in your ear, the ending of the world 9 times a day, and on Sundays 10. And you gotta not fall asleep in class and not stop studying during lunch so you can scrape together the time to work after school, work late, work often, work on prom and homecoming and Christmas and Friday night football, and you gotta do this over and over and over, and then someday, some long, long, very long, far out someday, if you follow the long tail of this long course you've plotted, you might find yourself on your very own ship. Astrogator is your technical title, but the co-pilot chums you and calls you,
"Hey, man! Hey, our GPS, man! Our GPS!"
And you're never quite sure if it's a joke, because you've never really knew how to talk to any of these people. You've only been faking it all these years. You laugh. Of course you laugh. And meanwhile,
OMG, this is really it. This is like a real mission in real space.
The pilot is brilliant, but that doesn't stop it from having been born in the valley. IQ 168, all kinds of letters after her name. Emotional levels, those of a 16-year-old mall rat. A mall rat whose ideal store is the space station, sure.
No, seriously, stop writing in your notebook for half a second and think about it. I mean, you know, you go into training for so long, you dream about like all of the time you'll be in space, and then you do training and you go up and you still keep dreaming about space. But this is like the real thing, do you know? The real thing. OMG, indescribable. The real thing. OMG, indescribable. The real thing.
I thought space was gonna be quiet. And here she is, with her voice that skips on and on against my head bones. OMG, like OMG, like stars, like moons, like space.
dang.
Then there's the co-pilot, the guy who dubbed me his...
GPS!
He's a whistler, a hummer, a pitter-patter, skit-scat, skadoodle, sing-songer. Nobody tests for that, you know. The day you walk into space training, nobody says, are you going to annoy the ever-loving you-know-what out of your colleagues forever when you're in a small metal box? Oh, sure, they test you to make sure you won't be annoyed while in the small metal box. Come on, you know how to fake those psych tests. What they really need to do is weed out the dumb diddy dummers before they're sitting next to you on a long trip through space. And then our software engineer. We need her, you know. But do we need her to discuss in endless detail everything that she fixes?
If we don't index the refs, we could recompute the hash without the L1 catch.
Plus, she's imprinted on me like a baby duck because I don't say go away. And also, it's my job, so every time I see her in the hallway, it's...
A binary output of the matrices... No, the binary output...
And her monotone goes on and on, with the Valley Girl a counterpoint swooping up and down and mountains like around it. And then dumb diddy dumb got dumbs and dumbs and dumbs. And there's more of them. More! The ship, the noise in the ship never ends. And you can't turn it off. And it rises around you like the rats in the ghetto, shrieking and squeaking and... That's when it happened. That's where it began. There we were, caught like rats in a tin can. There we were, out past Alpha Centauri, when the binary output of the matrices was suddenly interrupted with a small... Achoo! And then the dumb diddy dums were interrupted with a...
Achoo!
And then OMG space stopped because the O and the M was a...
Achoo!
And the noises that I'd gotten so used to died away around me and were replaced by new ones.
Achoo.
Cough. Cough.
Snivel hack.
Achoo.
Cough. Cough.
Snivel hack.
Cough.
Achoo. Cough. Cough.
Sniffle.
Snivel hack.
Sniffle.
Phlegm.
Achoo.
Like a music.
Cough, cough,
a counterpoint.
Hack.
A sniffle. Harmony.
Achoo.
No, no, no. Not, like a scraping and shredding and
clear.
Painful noise.
Achoo.
Not music
cough,
at all.
Cough.
One by one, achoo. They went to the infirmary.
Sniffle.
Our crew
achoo.
Grew smaller and smaller.
Cough, cough.
Stretching to fill the gaps as others sickened. The cold
cough, cough.
Turned to a cough.
Hack.
Turned to sores.
Sniffle hack.
Turned to...
Cough. What? Get... Oh...
No one expected the plague. There had been immunizations, quarantines, and yet it decimated us. No, more than decimated. It eliminated us, one by one. The last medic to succumb suggested it was something that had mutated on our flight, jumped ship from a host animal to us, like bird flu or swine flu. Made more deadly on its leap. One by one, we went down.
Achoo!
Sniffle hack.
Achoo!
Sniffle hack.
Achoo!
Sniffle hack.
Achoo!
One by one, they went down. All around me, they coughed and sniffled and swore as they died. The noises rang through the ship. The medics looked at me in surprise. Why wasn't I brought low? But then they found what they thought was the host animal. A stowaway. A rat. None of the other astronauts had ever lived with rats. None of them had ever stood at the bottom of 50,000 skyscrapers and looked up and up for their one pixel of blue. While around them the rats and the doomsday and the windows open close, rattly bang, they never stood a chance. Day by day, the sounds grew fewer. The programmer, the co-pilot, the physicist, the medics, the cooks and cleaners, and every last one of them. Until the Valley Girl pilot and me were the last two left standing. Her sniffles echoed throughout the quiet ship.
Achoo! Achoo! Achoo!
Nothing. Silence. My beautiful ship. My beautiful silence. It was all mine. We drifted that way for a long time. All the silence I had ever wanted. Silence in the halls. Silence in the walls. Silence in the cantina. Silence all throughout space. I didn't want it anymore. I didn't want it anymore. I didn't want it. I didn't want it. I didn't want it. Do you understand? I take it all back. All the clangs and dangs and likes and bitty bums. And I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. I crumpled on the cockpit floor for a long time, staring off into the stars. That's when I realized something. That the engine always made that peculiar hum. Had the instrument panel always made that clicking noise? Click, click, click. And had the pilot's chair always had that little squeak?
Click, click, click. Squeak, squeaky, squeak. Squeak, squeak.
Space isn't empty.
Squeak, squeak.
I know that now.
Squeak.
It isn't alone. There are worse things than noise, you see. There is silence.
Squeak.
But when the silence gets to be too much, something will come to fill it. The pilot's chair is my squeaky pilot now. The instrument panel, my tappa-tappa co-pilot. My engine is our engine, our droning engineer. My sounds and I, they will get me home.
The end.
Our adventure is almost over. We'll finish on this note. When the world is given a great painting, film, album, or book, we have a treasure.
When the world is given moments of live delight, we have hope.
Now, as much as ever,
the world needs hope. So, for our gathering live tonight, for our playing live tonight,
for giving the world more hope tonight,
let's give each other
a round of applause. That was really fun.
I'm so glad.
Oh my gosh, you guys sounded so great.
Oh yeah, it was wonderful. I mean, you know, the thing that's wonderful too is that this is sort of like tofu. You know, the core ingredient is the same, but the flavors that people apply to it is just great. So I've never heard, you know, this version of it before.
It's new every time.
Yeah.
Oh man, that was fun. A lot of fun. And we're going to talk more about our thoughts and continuing on with doing some more storytelling karaoke maybe in the future. Oh, Chewbacca, your nights will always be silent during this holiday season. and a little Tom Lehrer before that with the Hanukkah in Santa Monica. Yes, it is the holiday episode. We just completed one of the stories from Storytelling Karaoke. And I just want to thank Matt and Tina for joining us in the studio. But Matt, where can folks find this ebook?
Well, it's very, very easy. What you do is just hit Amazon. Don't hit the app, but go to the Amazon retail site and type in Storytelling Karaoke. Scroll about two titles down. You're going to see an icon of two faces looking at each other with a rocket ship in the middle. Storytelling Karaoke. Click on that and you're totally good to go.
Awesome. And Tina Connolly, who wrote this story for us and for the Storytelling Karaoke ebook, what was your takeaway from our performance?
Oh my gosh, you guys were amazing. That was so much fun. I thought you were all great. You cast yourselves really well. Jesse, that Valley girl, was on point.
OMG.
What was your inspiration for the themes and The Foley.
I know, the Foley, right? Actually, I had been working with Matt on some other scripts, and at some point he mentioned that he would love to do something that was more of like a soundscape, you know? And that got me thinking, and at the time I was reading a biography of Meredith Willson, who wrote The Music Man. Mm. And if you go back to The Music Man, it's full of all these very soundscape songs, you know, the one that opens it, and then, you know, you got Pick a Little, Talk a Little in the middle. But especially the one that opens it where they're all talking about.
Yeah, on the train.
On the train, right? It's amazing. So I started to develop, like, what would all these characters sound like if we had sort of this soundscape going in New York? And then if we have sound, then we have must have this guy who wants to get away from the sound. And then what would be the worst thing that would happen to this protagonist who wants to get away from sound is to eventually find out that they don't want to get away from sound, not in that way.
I also thought it was kind of interesting how you mentioned a little bit at the beginning about class and about how the protagonist, he's from this really poor background, and how he worked his way through school and worked mm-hmm. really hard to end up in this space capsule.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I in my novels and stories, I find myself drawn to writing about people who are in unfamiliar situations or who go through a lot of changes or outside their element in some way. And so that was part of what is happening to the protagonist here is they've gotten into this unfamiliar environment, and the soundscape kind of even increases their tension and unfamiliarity with the situation.
Very cool. Well, if folks want to get their own copy of the ebook, they can go to Amazon.com, not the app, and access it there. How many stories are in the ebook, Matt?
There are four stories, two of which are by Tina, two of which are by a very talented writer from Seattle, Liz Argal. The book is just $1 per person. So you get to download it and do it for free.
Very cool.
Not for free. I'm sorry. You get to keep the book. And
For the dollar.
Yeah, in full transparency, it's 99 cents.
So. Oh, there you go.
But free entertainment.
There you go. Lots of entertainment. Well, thank you both for joining us. I wanted to just briefly go through some more events that you can catch in December before we wrap up here on ARG. On tonight, actually, December 1st from 7 to 9 p.m., the public listening presentation of Four Mondays Radio Play, which was recorded partly here via KBOO and is going to be performed at the Shout House. More information on that, you can go to fourmondays.brownpapertickets.com. On December 5th from 7 to 9 p.m., Treknology, the science behind Star Trek's technology book discussion, will be going on at the Alberta Rose Theater. You can get information on that event at Alberta Rose Theater, spelled TheaterE, not E-R, RE.com. The Holiday Comic Spectacle of Artists on Parade, I think Conch is going to be excited about that, is going to be at the Clinton Street Theater on December 14th. It is a KBOO-sponsored event.
We have raffle prizes.
And raffle prizes. You can find out more information at cstpdx.com.seatengine.com. Or you can probably just search for Clinton Street Theater and pull up the website that way. And finally, on December 22nd and 23rd, the Renegade Craft Fair will be held at Pure Space. If you need some gift ideas, check out some local artists and vendors that are going to be participating there. Information at renegadecraft.com. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. I thank to my collective members, as well as you, dear listeners, that are going to be supporting us for the next year. Hope you all have a safe and lovely holiday. And Jenka and Jenna, I surely appreciate your geekiness as well. But how can people join into our collective here that is Radio Geekly on KBOO Radio?